here for the first time today, or maybe you've never filled out one of the welcome cards there in front of you, it's a connection card. We use those for prayer requests, use them for praises. For those of you who are streaming online, clmfamily.org is the website. I look at those emails every day. There's an email link. You can email me a prayer request if you have those. So again, please take advantage of that. I would like to send you a thank you letter if you've never filled out one of those cards, but I need your name and address. So if you'd be willing to give it to me after the service, or you can hand it to the greeter on your way out, I would appreciate it. And Lord willing, I'll get that to you this week. If you have your Bible, would you join me in the New Testament book of Luke? It's the third book of the New Testament, Luke chapter 19. Luke 19. I'll give you the title of the message here in just a second. Luke 19. And the message this morning is really just three items. I'll grab something here to help remember. Okay? Here is the message, and I'll put this back for the play. Okay? The cradle, the cross, and the crowns. I'll put them out here maybe a little bit. The cradle, the cross, and the crowns are all connected to why Jesus was born. And here's what they picture. The life, death, and triumph of Jesus. The life, death, and triumph of Jesus. Would you say that with me? The life, death, and triumph of Jesus. See, Jesus was no ordinary man. Jesus is the sinless Son of God. Before he was born as a little baby in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago, he existed with God the Father, as God the Son. He existed before creation. He was involved in creating. So when Jesus was walking here on earth, he was not just a normal, he had that human aspect of him, but he had that supernatural aspect of him as well. But Jesus left heaven on a mission. He had a purpose in coming to earth. And that's what I want to just take these couple of moments or a few moments to share with you. Two reasons why Jesus came. They're not the only two, but here are two reasons why Jesus came. The first one is in Luke chapter 19 and verse 10. The Bible says this, Luke 19, 10. For the Son of Man, this is Jesus speaking of himself, for the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost. The first reason Jesus came was to seek and save the lost. And I'll go ahead and tell you the other one right now just so you hear it, but we'll focus on this one a moment and then focus on the last one. Jesus came to seek and save the lost, and he came to destroy the works of the devil. Jesus came to seek and save the lost, and he came to destroy the works of the devil. Now, let me ask you a question. If you were to ask most people today, just out in our culture, hey, are you lost? What do you think they would say? They tell us to get lost. No, maybe, if it was that nice. So what does it even mean? Jesus came to seek and save the lost, and what does it mean to be lost? The word lost actually can mean to kill, like life, but it can also mean to destroy. In fact, the same word is used in another verse. Let me read it to you. If you just stay right there in Luke, it's found in John chapter 10 and verse 10. We can put those words on the screen. This is Jesus speaking again about why he came. It says in John 10:10, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. But Jesus said, I have come that they may have what? Life. That they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. See, if you allow me to say it this way, God gets a bad rap because the devil deceives people into thinking, well, if you give your life to God, you can't have any fun, you can't do this, you can't do that. No, we cannot sin, but we can know what real life is all about. life right here, right now, knowing God as our Father, and eternal life forever. So he's not coming to take life, he's coming to give life. But that he said the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That word destroy is the same exact word that Jesus used to translate lost in Luke 19:10. He came to seek and save the lost, those who were in destruction. Because see, sin is breaking God's commandments. That's really what sin is. If God says to do something and we don't, it's sin. If God says don't do something and we do it, it's sin. It's breaking God's law, breaking God's word, and there is a penalty for breaking God's law. What is it? It's death. The wages or the consequences, the punishment for sin is death, and that's both spiritual death, which means separation from God, and that's separation now and forever. But it also means physical death. The reason people die physically is because of spiritual death. When Jesus takes care of the spiritual death, then we have a way to live forever with him. So Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. The world is still dealing with this COVID that's going on now. Thank God for everyone who has not had it or who has, you know, contracted and survived. But there is an even deadlier virus that has infected all humanity, and it's the virus of sin. But thank God there is a cure, and it's a 1,000% success rate. And that is Jesus and the life's blood that he gave for us. As sinners, I almost drowned one time when I was a child. And I was out in Lake Chesney, and I knew how to float. I could float on my back, but I couldn't swim. And I didn't realize I'd gone out beyond the barriers of the boundary. And when I tried to stand up, I thought I could, but I was over my head, and I could not save myself, and I was drowning, going up under the water. And a man saw me, and I worked my way enough back, like dog paddling, to get to the rope where I'd gone past the boundary. And when I went to hold myself up, it was slack, and it wouldn't hold me. And I went down again. But he came, and whoever this man was, I'm thankful that God had him there that day because he saved me. And we cannot save ourselves from our sin. Thank God he loved us so much, the Bible says, that even though Jesus was the eternal Son of God, he took on our human form and he shares our humanity, but not our sin. See, another sinner could not rescue us from sin either. But Jesus was miraculously conceived. That's why he's Emmanuel, God with us. But God can rescue us. And that's exactly what he did through his son when he came and laid his life down on the cross. Even though Jesus did not sin, Jesus suffered and died on the cross in judgment for our sin. We do not have to bear the wrath of God against our sin. We do not have to be separated from him forever because Jesus suffered and died in our place. And we can live together with him forever. The cradle, the cross, and the crowns. He had a mission. He had a purpose for why he came. His death, life, and his triumph. Jesus came to seek and save the lost and to destroy the works of the devil. If you're there in Luke 19, would you turn back to 15? Just want to call your attention to a couple of accounts here real quick. Luke chapter 15. Jesus not only died on the cross, 3 days later he came back to life. And he proved that he really was who he claimed to be. He proved that he is the Son of God. He proved that he is the Messiah that the prophets wrote about for centuries to come. He fulfilled those predictions that were given for all those years, and he fulfilled the prophecies. In Luke 15, he compares God the Father to people who are searching. He says, if you're a shepherd, you have 100 sheep, and one of them gets away, what does the good shepherd do? He goes seeking that lost sheep. He gave an illustration of a lady who has 10 coins, and that was probably something similar. It would look like a necklace, and it may even be like a family heirloom. Like, how many of you are familiar with mother's rings, where you would have like a gem, a stone for each maybe child and so forth in the family? Could you imagine if you lost one of those stones, how you would try to find? That's what this woman was. She was sweeping. She's trying to remember where she went. She's looking all over the place, and when she finds it,
Jesus said, she calls others, hey, I found it. Come rejoice with me. That's the heart of God. And then he told the story of what we call the prodigal son. But it was two sons. And one son said, Dad, I don't really, you know, want anything to do with you. I just want your money. Let me have my part of the inheritance that's coming even while you're still living. He gets it, and he goes and parties. Someone said, the devil will take you further than you want to go. He'll make you stay longer than you want to stay, and he'll make you pay more than you want to pay. And he found that out. And this young man literally ended up working in a pig pen and didn't know where his next meal was coming from. And he remembered how good his father was after all. We have a good father. And the Bible says he came to himself, and all he wanted was to go back and his dad to hire him in the family business so that he could have a meal. He went back. He left the man and give me. He went back with the right heart saying, just make me. But when the son was heading home, the Bible says, Jesus said, the father saw him a great way off and ran out to meet him and hugged him and welcomed him home. Not just because he was home, but because he came back home with the right heart and he was right with his father. And his father wasn't going to hang it over his head then because he was repentant. And he said, no, we're going to restore you back. You're my son. But this is how he says it, the last verse of chapter 15. This man that Jesus speaks of in verse 32 says, it was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother, he's speaking to the older son, was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. Was he physically dead? No. Was he physically lost? I think he knew where he was, but he was out of relationship with his father, so it was a picture of being dead and lost. That's what Jesus meant when he said, I've come to seek and save the lost, to rescue us from destruction. And then finally, he came to destroy the works of the devil. Destroy the works of the devil. When God's Holy Spirit, and this is so important, I always want to emphasize it. See, anyone can do the religious activities. People can raise their hands, walk an aisle, join the church, repeat a prayer. But if God is not drawing our heart, there's no transformation, there's no change. Jesus said, no one can come to me unless the Father draws. So the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin. Yes, I've broken God's word. Yes, I'm not right with God. I know it. But I believe Jesus is my answer. And I believe Jesus not only died to pay for my sins, he came back to life. And Jesus, in my heart, I believe you are Lord. When that happens, a miracle takes place. All of our sins are forgiven. The Holy Spirit not only forgives the sin, he cleanses us from all sin. He makes us righteous in the eyes of a holy God. God adopts us into his family as his sons and daughters, and his Holy Spirit indwells us, and there is a change. And then God does that work in our heart. It's a lifelong process, but he begins that work within us of helping us grow more like Jesus. And brothers and sisters, let me be honest with you, in case you're wondering, or maybe you're not a Christian, you thinking about it. I'm not going to tell you that, hey, just give your life to Jesus and all your troubles are going to go away. You'll be fine. It is great. It's a blessed life, but we're still in this life. This isn't heaven. And that growth process, I'm telling you, it will include battles. It will include tests. The process is going to include trials. It's going to include questions. It's going to at times maybe include fears, and yes, it's going to include victories, but at times it's going to include some defeats. But it's all a process of God working by his grace in us to help us grow more like Jesus, to grow closer to him. But I will say this, the Bible teaches, I'll give you the verse, but God will not allow a true child of his to live like an unbeliever. Because when the Holy Spirit is on the inside of us, yes, Christians can and do sin, but there's conviction that comes. We just can't. See, if you're a Christian, you're kind of stuck in a sense. You can have the temptation to do the stuff, But even if you did, you're not going to enjoy it like an unbeliever, because there's going to be that conviction. And if we don't get that thing right, there will be the Father's loving correction, because God corrects his own in love. And if we can just live an unrepentant lifestyle without correction, it shows that we don't really belong to God. Here's what it says in 1 John 3:8. 1 John 3:8, I'm going to read it out of the English Standard Version because of the tense of the verb. It says, whoever makes a practice of sinning. Some versions just say sin. I don't want to scare you, all right? It's whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. But the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. You see, Jesus destroyed the works of the devil. He freed us from Satan's ownership. The devil does not own us if we belong to the Lord. He freed us from the devil's deception. Yes, we can be deceived, but Jesus freed us. And he freed us from the devil's condemnation. We can feel condemned, but according to God, we are free from condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. So Jesus destroyed the works of the devil over us and in us. Brothers and sisters, victory is ours. But we have to believe God's word in order to receive and walk in it. It's the cradle, the cross, and the crowns, the life, death, and triumph of Jesus. Would you turn to Revelation 19? I'll close there. Last book of the Bible. Revelation chapter 19, beginning in verse 11. Revelation 19. And I said a moment ago, the growth process of growing in Christ is going to include all the battles, temptations, and everything. But the truth is, one day, as Christians, if we know the Lord as followers of Jesus, our battles will be over. Yeah. Our temptations will be over. Our trials will be over. Thank God that we have a bright future coming. Revelation 19, verse 11. Now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. This is Jesus coming back to the earth, not a quiet little stable in Bethlehem. The Bible says when he returns, every eye will behold him. And it says in verse 12, his eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. Many crowns. He goes on in that verse, and he says he had a name written that no one knew except he himself. Verse 13, he's clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. In verse 14, and the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Who is following him? The ones who are following him now. And so he says they're following him on white horses when he returns. And the Bible says in verse 15, now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword that with it he should strike the nations. He himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. He has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. One day when Jesus returns, the full manifestation of our Lord's redemption will be complete. And those who know him will be with him forever in a new heaven and new earth. There'll be no more sorrow, no more sin, no more sickness, no more curse, no more death, no more crying. Because the curse is broken and we have a new beginning. The cradle, the cross, and the crowns, the death, the life, and the triumph of Jesus. Jesus left heaven on a mission. Mission accomplished. And the Bible tells us that those who will follow the Lord now, he one day will crown us with rewards for faithfully following him now. So let me close with this. I'd like to just ask you, between you and the Lord, I said mission accomplished. Is the Lord's mission being accomplished in you? Do you really know him? I mean, have you believed in your heart that Jesus is Lord? Because that's what he calls us to do. Believe him and love him. That was the message I shared last week, is really saying, I'm yours, Lord. But it's believing with our heart and loving him with our heart, because he loved us so much that he was willing to give himself on the cross to pay for our sins. Do you believe God's word? And I want to ask, not just, yeah, I believe it. I want to ask you this in a very practical way, as a way of living, do you believe it? Do you order your steps by God's word? Do you want to honor God the way he says with your relationships, at your work, your school, finances, everything? Do you believe God's word that way in order to really live it out? And then wherever you may be right now in your own walk with the Lord, would you just be willing to search your heart and just say, even if I've never done it before, right now, I want to believe God's word. I want to believe the love that Jesus has for me, that God showed me on the cross, and I want to receive his love right now, and I want to follow Jesus as Lord. The cradle, the cross, and the crowns, that's why he came, to reach us. Can we just close our head? Or close our eyes and bow our head in prayer. Just.